when God says no, you know, and that's tough, isn't it? Those words, no, you expect everything to be yes, 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 blessings, blessings, blessings. I want it all to be good. I don't want nothing bad in my life. But sometimes God says no. There's a reason behind that. For us to understand that reasoning, God works through prayer, amen? Do you believe that? When we pray to God, he hears us. Those are our direct access to the Savior, you know, and how many has prayed a prayer? How many can admit tonight you've prayed a prayer that you knew wasn't going to get answered? It might have been a little selfish. I'll pick on my mom tonight. She's been praying to God for years to win that Powerball. She's been praying for years. Lord, you know my heart. If I win, I'll do this and this and this. But it's still, she keeps praying. She still keeps praying. And that's all right. I'd be okay with that. But, you know, sometimes we pray prayers and God's like, no, we need to refocus. We need to readjust to what we're doing. Amen. I've gone through serious situations in my life. I'm sure every one of us has experienced something devastating, something life-changing, something you felt God was going to answer and God was going to take care of. Can I get an amen on that? You felt like God was definitely had your back. That's a great feeling to have, isn't it? To know that you don't have to go through anything alone because you have someone who's in control of everything at your back, amen? But sometimes when God says no, you feel left, you feel like you've been let down, don't you? You feel like, oh man, what just happened? I've been praying, I've been tithing, I've been fasting, I don't know what else to do. I've been reading my word like I should, I've been the best person I could be on my job. What happened that you would say no to me, God? But that's because life has a way of bringing us down, doesn't it? It brings you to your knees sometimes and to let us know that we are under, you know, things happen. Let's just say things happen. I'm trying to not go too deep here because I'm thinking of things in my head. I'm like, come on, Clint, what's wrong with you? But healing of a loved one, deliverance in the body, deliverance from your family situation, you pray for your spouses. But, you know, those are things that God is in control of. And you know that when you turn over control to God, that sometimes he might say, no, I can't heal your loved one today. I'm going to take them home because there's a purpose that we don't understand on this side of the earth. But in heaven, there's a purpose and a reason why we took them home. Amen. So you go to the next slide. Like I said, I've suffered loss, and loss is probably the hardest thing to deal with, right? And it makes you question. It makes you say, why, God? Why? What happened? Why, God? We'll never understand in this world why things are taken away from us sometimes. We'll never understand why we lost a family member. We'll never understand why God did not let us win that Powerball last night. You know, we might not understand that right now, but there's a reason, but it's on the other side in eternity when we might understand. Amen? Sometimes we see that no, that God doesn't answer our prayer. He says, no, I can't answer that tonight as a punishment. And like I said, we start thinking, man, what did I do wrong? Why, God? Why not me? Why, am I not good enough? But we got to remember, God has our interest in mind. Next slide, please. And that leads into the, did you even hear me, Lord? Sorry, that's kind of small print there for you. But you start questioning, do I even matter to you, God? God, do you have my back? Am I all alone in this world? Those are questions we all ask that are true, amen? They're real questions, and we're real-life people here. And when life has its ups and downs, we got to remember up on that corner, it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the God that we serve, amen? I was reminded when I wrote this, and every time I read this in my phone when it pops up, I always think of God came down to this earth as a person. Amen. He was born into this world by flesh, but he was still God. Amen. So he had all power and influence to do anything, to do all things. as God does. God's able to take care of all things, but he was in subjection to God still in a man form, amen? He still had to pray and he still had to fast and to find that closeness to God. He was perfect. He was the example on earth for us to make it to heaven and to be godly, amen? So why did you forsake us, God? Why would you say no to our prayers? And I'm reminded that before he went to the cross, he was praying and praying and praying, and he knew what was going to happen. He knew how he was going to die on earth. He knew how things are going to go down, and I'm sure as a human being, he felt the, why, God? What are you doing to me? Did you leave me? You have my back here on earth, right? Why do I have to go through pain? The hardest thing for us to admit to is going through pain. We don't want to experience pain, any kind of loss. And I think to God on Calvary, wow, what would he have went through? You know, those were not anything pleasant that we want to go through. But we got to remember, next slide, please, if life will hit everyone, the test, the trials, the loss, the storm is not exempt. It will hit everyone. Sometime in your life, you're going to go through a storm. And those are even at the mountaintops and at the lowest low of the valleys. Those situations coming can take you down. But his no doesn't mean it has no effect on us. I want to get that straight too. You know, as a Christian, we're supposed to follow God, right? We're supposed to obey his word. We're supposed to read his word. We're supposed to find healing in his word, amen? But it's hard when life hits you, isn't it? I'm sorry, I jumped right into this. I should have done a little more expounding first, but it's hard when you are dealing with a loss, with the trials, with cancer, with when you're dealing with addiction. You know, that's another thing. There's addictions that people deal with every day. That's kind of what the devil wants people to get ruined by, is addiction to whatever. You could gossip. That's an addiction. You could sin, little sin, big sin. It doesn't matter. Those things are something the devil uses to bring us down. Amen. I'm going back to when Jesus was on the earth, when he was praying and praying and praying and praying, his sweat became as great drops of blood. Could you imagine those prayers? And even he experienced no. He said, God, take this cup from me, if it be thy will, Lord. Take it all away. Let me not go through this, but if it's your will, God. And sure enough, he went through the embarrassment of the cross. Did any people? We go to the next slide. Through all the pain and all the stuff that he had suffered, he endured the cross for all our suffering. With all his suffering that he went through, he was beat, he was bruised, he was stabbed, spit on, bit. You could just horrible things that happened to him. The embarrassment he suffered as a human being, there's no dignity that he went through. It was all ripped away from him. The being made fun of and slapped and punched and then whatever else could think of. He went through all that for you. Amen. And I'm thankful for that tonight, amen, that he went through that for us. Yes. You know, he did not have to, being all God in the body in the earthly form, amen. He did not have to go through any of that stuff, but he did. He's showing us that sometimes those prayers don't get answered. He'll say no. But what was the reason for those no prayers for God that day was, when Jesus was here and God told him, no, you got to go through that, his biggest victory came from that prayer, amen? When Jesus died upon the cross, it's no secret what happened. The world stopped that day, I would say. It changed that day because there was an innocent, spotless lamb that died upon a cross that shed his blood for you. He went down to the grave, but he also went to hell, amen? He had to die off the cross so he could go to hell to conquer. It says in the Bible he conquered it, amen? So the keys that he held in his hand, and then not only was his body thrown into the grave, he erased his body from the grave that day as well. It said 3 days later the stone was rolled away and there was no body because he ascended back up to heaven, amen? That gives me those goose pimples every time we talk about that, because that's the kind of God that we serve, amen? That he would die for us in the beauty of heaven that he left, thinking of you the whole time, amen. The purpose of his life led up to that one moment, that prayer before he got hung on the cross, that God said, no, you're going to go through it. It led to our freeing of our sin. It let our sin be covered by his blood, amen. So we're thankful. And he went back up to promise us something, and I'll get to that in a little bit. But there's many ups and downs along the way, and you might suffer, and sometimes you want to give up. Does anyone ever feel like, man, I just can't take any more? This is the max. I can't take any more. I don't want to go through anything else. Sometimes we think that way, right? There are many ups and downs along the way, but we are urged, if we would just stay focused, if we would see the sight of heaven in the background, you see heaven back there. That's where I want to go. I want to go to heaven and be with the one who made me, amen. I want to be the one who died on the cross that day, but he rose up from my sins. I want to be there with him. We need to self-evaluate sometimes, and don't be afraid when God gives you a no on your prayer. Sometimes we got to look back and say, why am I praying for this situation? What am I praying for? What's my motive behind my prayer? Maybe it's because you're jealous of somebody for driving a new car. That's my dream car right there. The Lord knows my heart. It's a 2019 Z06 Corvette. It's got 775 horsepower. And it's my favorite color, so life would be good in that thing. But the Lord knows my heart. He knows my finances as well. So I specifically do not pray for that car, just so you know. But that is a car I'd like to have. But I put that out there for a reason, because sometimes we see other people driving something you want, you become just like, Lord, why can't I have that? What's wrong with me having that car, Lord? And that is a real question, by the way. But we want to keep up with the Joneses, as they would say, your neighbor. You want to be, you're looking for that lifestyle, the status that your friends and neighbors might have and your peers. Is that why you're praying that prayer? Because you want to look like you're more than you are? What's your motive behind that? Do you lack trust in what God has planned for you, the process God has planned for you? Do you lack the trust in the way it works out at the end? Amen. I go into the story of Moses. He was a righteous man. He was chosen by God. He wasn't perfect. There was no man perfect but God, amen? And there's one instance in the Bible where he was to speak to the rock and produce water for the people of Israel. So they were in a drought. They were needing water. God said, listen, just go talk to the rock. Bring everyone around. Bring Aaron around. And you will have water, the beasts will have water, and it'll be abundant, so you won't have to thirst no more, amen? But Moses, I'm not sure if he was just mad, angry, or what, but he hit the rock a couple times, and the water came out. But because he did that and didn't listen to the exact words of God, he lost a promise, and God said no to his prayer, amen? In Deuteronomy 3, 25, 26, it talks a little bit about it. It says, God spake to him and said, speak on this matter no more. Don't ask me to go to the promised land because you didn't listen to my commandments. Amen. So you will wander in the wilderness and not go to the land of promise. Amen. So Moses suffered that no through his disobedience. A dream was shattered. Moses, he prayed over and over and over and over again. And God spoke to him and said, no, stop praying. It's not going to happen. You did not follow through on your side. Amen. So sometimes if we are not careful, we will get to a point where God's just going to say, no more. That's it. You're done. You know, what a humbling experience that would be. I would be sad to my mind knowing I couldn't go to the land of promise that was promised to me because of something stupid I've done. I'll be the first to tell you I've done a lot of stupid stuff. I think we all can amen that, amen. So amen. Next slide, please. You're far too smart to be the only thing standing in your own way. Think about that for a second. We have any smart people in the house today that know everything? How many people feel like they know everything? I think that's kind of a common thing for all of us to feel, that we don't need anyone's help because we already got it figured out. You know, we don't need you, God. I'm going to go buy some extra McDonald's and I'm not going to pay my bills this month. I can do whatever I want. I don't need to tithe my 10%, God, because I got this. It's all me. And then how many times have you heard people lose jobs over silly situations like that? Amen. Here's another prayer concern that maybe God will say no to you if you get a speeding ticket. How many has experienced a speeding ticket in your life? Lord, your first thing is, God, get me out of this. I'll never speed again, Jesus. Have you been there? Come on. I know everyone's been there because I'm not the only one. And then 2 weeks later, you get another ticket, don't you? 2 days. You don't even learn your lesson. God, I won't do it again, I promise. You know, and we just let him down every time. We tell him silly things like that. You're far too smart for that, amen? Don't stand in the way of getting to heaven. We make God lesser in value when we expect him to fix everything that we do stupidly. He's not a wish granter. Sometimes we think we have a genie in a bottle. As they say, he's a problem fixer. He's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. We got all that. But he's not your genie tonight, amen? So those no's that he might get you in prayer is for a reason, amen? And I'm thankful for those no's because as an experienced Christian, I would call myself, just because I've been in church, raised in church my life, and I'm thankful for that. But like I said, I've done some stupid prayers. I've said some stupid stuff. And I'm thankful that God would say no to my experienced Christian mentality. Amen? God was really talking to me when I got to this part. He said, let's check this out. Does your execution match your religious experience? Does what I live every day match what I've been through and what I've seen? I've seen people raised out of wheelchairs. I've seen hands mended back to being complete when there was no fingers there. They were stretched out and made whole. I've seen that general conference in Indianapolis, Indiana. I believe that was like 1991 or something like that. I remember seeing that as a child and just totally transformed my mind. I've seen people run through the church. By the time they hit the altar, they were speaking in tongues after being an alcoholic for 20-some years. I've seen that happen. I've seen people give up cigarettes instantly when they prayed to God to take it away. He takes the desire away. I've seen that. Does my execution match my experience? Does my expectation match the experience of what I felt God? Amen? I said this once before, but I'll tell you again. I remember a time at another church when I was growing up. I was kind of scared out of my mind, I will say that. First time dealing with a person who was full of the devil. He come running in the service, right through the back door, come right up the aisleway. He got a third of the way up, and he started dancing around crazy stuff and slithering around. He actually slithered from halfway to the platform. I was always told as a kid, when that happens, you get out. You get away from that because you don't know what's going to happen. And I remember we all went down under our chairs. We were scared. I was maybe 11 years old. But I remember seeing a shoe fall off this guy, and his shoe was dancing like this. It was dancing on the ground. It was the devil, and he was making terrible noises, and the minister at that time had 100% confidence in God. I'm thankful for that. He pulled the oil out and anointed this man, and he was speaking in tongues in 2 minutes. They had cast out the devil, and his shoe stopped moving in 2 minutes. To me, that shoe was moving for an hour. I was like, Lord, you know me in my heart. If you save me now, Lord, I'll live for you forever. I was like that. Because we make those silly promises sometimes. Amen. Do the words coming out of my mouth match my experiences with the things I've seen, I've heard, I've tasted? Have you ever just been in a service and you felt so overwhelmed with the presence of God that the Spirit of God would never leave you? You felt like you'd just been wrapped in your arms? I'll tell you that one time that I experienced the loss of my brother, and the pain was so hard and the pain was so deep in my heart. I didn't know how to make it. I didn't want to function. I kind of gave up on a lot of dreams at that moment. And my first time meeting Brother Mitchell, Prophet Mitchell, we all remember him, was the year my brother died. A couple weeks later, I was in the Maryville church, and he was in a 16-week revival there. He called me out from the front of the platform and spoke into my heart some words, and he just told me to trust God. And from that instant, I can remember that moment. I felt God did not answer my prayer. I felt let down that he let my brother pass away. I felt like it was my fault that I wasn't good enough. And the moment he came back and prayed for me and spoke words into me, God wrapped his arms around me. That presence of God that just I couldn't explain, but it took away the pain that no prayer had, amen. It took away the dissatisfaction I had in my relationship with God that day that I am good enough, amen. But have you ever experienced that feeling that just God is the only one that loves you as much as he loves you? What a great, great way to do that. What a great way to feel. Just turn it over to God. Let God take care of everything. You can put 100% confidence in this. This is a fact. This is a truth from the Bible. This is a yes prayer from God. He will answer yes every time. One thing you can put your hope in is that he will never leave us. He's never going to forsake us. Amen. He's a God over everything. There has to be something more in ourselves to keep us. There has to be something more than you. You can't take care of your situations like God can. Those loving arms that wrap around you can only give you peace that God can give you, amen? And in that moment when you're completely torn down on your knees and stripped away from everything, that's when God moves on you. That's when you know 100% that God is in total control. And those no prayers that you experience, those become less important because you know he is in control and he has your best interest in mind. I'm thankful for those no prayers tonight. I'm thankful for all the closed doors that I said, God, open this up for me. And God's like, no, I have something better for you down the road. Without getting into my past too much, I dated a lot of female ladies, okay? I'm not going to lie, I had a lot of relationships growing up and through my 20s. And there were several times I thought, well, I'm going to get married just because everyone else is getting married and everyone else is doing it and everyone else. But I still felt there was something more in my heart. And in my prayers, I never felt like a confirmation, like God wants me to do this. God wants me to get married and have the family and all that stuff. And I always questioned God, why? Going through that process that I explained to you earlier, why, God, am I not good enough? Do you even hear me? Do I matter to you? Am I somebody in your eyes? Those are questions you have when you are a single man. You're hitting your 30s, and you didn't think you're going to have a family, and it's just depressing. And then, obviously, my wife here and our three kids, and God bless me, and I'm thankful for that. So I'm thankful for those no prayers that God had, amen. We grow from the circumstances and the situations we go through. We have to reach a maximum, put your name in there, a maximum Clint. I have to reach my maximum ability, Clint, through your experiences, Clint. Sometimes, you remember last time I talked, I said I talk to myself a lot all the time. Clint, grow from what you learn. You could do that to yourself right now. That'd be helpful. Charlie, grow from what you learn, what you go through, your circumstances. Because you have to be the best you can be. Much like a child, I teach my child to do the best you can. It might not be the best one in the school, But you do the best you can. I helped coach his basketball team, and he struggled. He was the youngest guy on the team. He was playing basketball as a kindergartner with second graders. It's kind of rough, and he was frustrated sometimes, but he scored a bucket, and he was happy. He forgot about everything else. I said, you try the best you can and run around there. And then the next play, he get hit right in the face with the ball, and he was crying on the ground. So it's just he tried the best he could, and I was so proud of him. And I wanted to express to him, you know, it doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. You do the best you can because you're going to get better from that. I promise. The experiences that you get, those times you got hit in the face, remember that because you don't want to do it again. We had a couple moments like that. You don't want to do this again, Griff. I want to teach him every day to be the best Christian he can. I want him to pray. I want him to read the word. And then that transposed into my life something this morning I was thinking. I said, God, you know, I want to get to heaven. I want to see him face to face. I want to experience what heaven has for me. And I was thinking, they give out awards for everything for those basketball players that weren't any good. They weren't good at all. They still get participation trophies. They get, yay, you played basketball. Here's a medal. You know, I don't want a participation trophy when I get to heaven. I don't want to be like, oh, Clint, you barely made it to heaven. I don't want to walk around and be like, hey, look at my medal, bro. I'm up here in heaven just chilling. That's me. I want to be like, God, I did this for you. I lived a life for you. I wanted a crown on my head. I want to be a ruler over something, amen. I want God I want to be the best I can be here on earth so I can experience the best I can in heaven. No participation trophy. And those no prayers help me experience things that I need to grow from that, amen? So you got to keep pressing forward. Don't let your mistakes define you, amen? Don't let your mistakes be the only thing that matter in your life, because if you're down on yourself, why is anyone else going to care? If you don't trust in God, why is anyone else going to matter to you what you have to say, amen? The race is not given to the swifts, nor to the strong, but to him that endures to the end. Amen? So you got to keep moving forward. You got to endure some things. Isn't that what God said? To endure some things? To make it through, to draw closer to your promise of heaven. If we go to the next slide. You love that scripture. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. That's the promise God has for us. No participation trophy here. This is all about him and your relationship with God. Amen. Give him some praise in the house today, because he's going away to prepare a place for us. And at this moment, this is when the devil wants to step in and say, you know, God's let you down. Clint, God's let you down. He didn't answer your prayer. He said, no. I'll give you whatever you want in this earth. That's what the devil wants to play around with you for. He says, God's failed you. Don't waste your time on this. Run to drugs. Run to alcohol. Run to your friends who don't care. Run to those people. You'll find comfort in that. That's what the devil wants you to feel. Lie after lie after lie. The statement I want you to remember tonight, if you don't remember anything else that this crazy mind of mine says, God will never give up on you. Amen. You give up on yourself, but God's never going to give up on you. He died on the cross for you. He went through all that pain for you. I like this next thing. Go ahead and put that slide up for me. Sometimes removing yourself is the best thing for everyone. You know, when if I had someone tell me this when I was a young person, it'd be so much easier. When you are in a group of fellas, come on, guys, give me an amen. When they say, hey, do this, you're not backing down. You're going 100% at that goal, aren't you? So if my suggestion to you and every young person, every parent to teach your young people is sometimes get away from those people that make you do things that you know is wrong. Get away from them. It's not worth it. Here's one thing that I learned. And you guys are all educated and grown through life already. Most of you up here, our young people are downstairs, but so you probably have already experienced this and know, but where are your friends at now? You know, after they burnt your match, where they go? You don't see them no more. They're not around. They don't care about you. They're on to the next one they can have fun with. Amen? But I'm reminded that God's never going to leave me. Even through my dumb mistakes, God's still never going to leave me. But remove yourself from those people. Amen? It's easy to look like you're all put together, isn't it? When we come to church, woo, you look good today. Your hair's all right. Your tie's all right. Look at them shoes, girl. You say whatever you want. You know, you look good. But on the inside, you're struggling, amen. You know, that the inside of the heart is something we don't see, we don't know. So we can't judge a book by its cover, as it said. But we can be the best we can be to help those people, amen. Through our circumstances. It's what the kingdom's all about. It's what the kingdom's all about. In closing, go to the last slide. What a promise we have. What a promise we have. If you ever got a no prayer and you were praying for a yes prayer, thank God. Thank God that that is going to help you grow. Because he's not forgotten about you. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows where each foot go, amen. He knows each person you meet on a daily basis. He's in the middle of that, amen. Some experiences you have gone through, no one else has gone through but you. So you can minister right to that person. I've been led to people that have experienced loss as well that I have dealt with. You know, and I was able to minister a word to them. Because God knows what he's doing. He has a plan. He has a plan. He has a... Do you know what the end plan is? Why do you come to church? Do you know why you come to church? It's to be with your brothers and sisters and uplift and feel the presence of God and worship him. But ultimately, it's to get to heaven. We want to focus on getting to heaven today. That's how you spell heaven, correct? All right. So make sure you guys are with me still. But when you get that yes or that no prayer and you were expecting a yes, read God's word. See what your motives are. See what you're praying is actually, is this something you should be praying for or something you shouldn't be praying for, amen? But if you trust God, he's going to show you eventually why he said no. I know why he said no to a lot of things in my life, and I'm thankful for where I'm at today. Thank you, Lord, for leading those doors closed for me. I rejoice in the Lord. And when you take the experiences you've gone through, you can look for somewhere to grow. Something inside. Every time you go through a bad experience or a no prayer, grow from it. So you don't have to go through it again. Take it and grow. Stay the course. Endure. Every action has a consequence, right? Does anyone get spankings to their kids anymore? I just started getting them belt out like 2 weeks ago, and it's done some magic in my household. Now I just had to say, I'm going to get that belt. And they're like, oh, no. And they sit down. It's amazing. Amen. I'm thinking of parenting back in the 80s and the 90s. Come on, brothers. We went through that. Be the best you can be. I don't know how it was in the 60s, sister. Couldn't imagine. Woo. Yeah. I want to end with this last quote from C.S. Lewis. This was something that, I don't know, Justin, you might remember this, I don't know. But my brother, he preached a couple sermons in Huntington before he had passed away, and he had this quote he printed out and put in his wallet from C.S. Lewis, and he preached a couple messages on it, and I've even listened to it just recently. And I took a paper out of his wallet, and I have it in a secret place, but it said, "Everything that is not eternal is eternally useless," by C.S. Lewis. I want all my accomplishments here on earth. It means nothing. All my participation medals and my trophies that I might carry around, like they mean something. It means nothing at the end of the day. That means something. I'm sorry, this means something right here. Yeah, right there. It's all about heaven. When you stand before your king, do you want that participation medal? Say, "Welcome to heaven. You barely made it." My thought to go home with you tonight is, what's going to matter after tonight to you? I challenge you to kick something up inside of you and stir it and say, "God, let me grow from my mistakes. Let me grow from the no's that you've said in my life, God. I know my sins are covered under the blood that you shed, and you went to prepare a life for me after this life, that you will come and receive me. No matter what I've gone through, Lord." We're going to be with him to reign and to rule forever. And I just want to say, thank you, God, for those no prayers. Does anyone else have a prayer that God maybe not answered in your life that you're thankful he didn't? At this moment, you can say, "I'm thankful for that no prayer today.